So we're going to start the Gemara now. And by way of introduction, the Gemara is built on the following premise. Rabbi Shmuel holds, and this is a sugya in the third perek on Daf Lamed Gimel, that when Reuven's shor damages Shimon, Reuven becomes a balchov to Shimon. He owes him a sum of money. That's called a chov. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, holds that when Reuven's shor damages Shimon, Shimon becomes a partner in the shor. Whatever's due to him, let's say, for example, if the shor was worth 200, the shor mazik, and the damage was let's put it this way: the amount of money that Shimon could collect is 100, because his damage was 200. He gets chatzi nezek. Then Reuven and Shimon become partners in the shor, in which Reuven owns half the shor and Shimon owns the other half. They can decide to sell it and split the money, whatever it is. So Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that Reuven, the mazik, is nothing more than a mischayev bedover. He's like a lova who borrowed money. He has to pay a chov, he has to write a check. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva holds that Reuven now has to forfeit half of his shor to Shimon. Shimon gains ownership in Reuven's shor. So the Gemara now asks, Masnisin Mani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Now when we say who's the author of our Mishnah, what we're referring to here is Rabbi Meir. Because we're going to soon see that according to Rav Shimon, clearly Rav Shimon beyond a doubt holds like Rabbi Akiva. But we're not sure about Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth. Because on the one hand, Rabbi Meir doesn't sound like Rabbi Shmuel. And that's what the Gemara says here, Delo Kirabi Shmuel. And on the other hand, Delo Kirabi Akiva, he doesn't seem to jive with Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara now is going to analyze why that's so. The Mefarshim point out here, Rabbeinu Hananel, that Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, according to the Gemara in Erevin. And therefore we'd like to know which of his two Rebbeim's opinion did he actually accept. But that's just a historical comment.
Sorry, this was which rabbi?
This is Rabbi Meir. Meir was actually a Talmud of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva.
Okay.
So the Gemara says the following. Iki Rabbi Shmuel, di Omar, bale chovos ninhu. If Rabbi Meir accepted the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, it means each one of the nizakim, which is, if we want to say it's Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, each one of the damaged parties, are bali chovos. They're like a malve vis-a-vis a love, and they're coming to collect their chov. And if that be the case, hi, what does Rabbi Meir mean when he says achron achron niskar, that first we have to pay Yehuda, you know, the last one to get damaged? On the contrary, rishon rishon niskar mi boile. It should have been the exact opposite. The first one to get damaged, we'll call him Shimon, he should be the first one to collect from Reuven. Why? Because if, let's say, I borrow money from five different people, and there's a limited number of funds to pay back these five bali chovos, then the first one that borrowed from me gets first rights to collect, because his chov came first, and I have to pay up that chov first. So that Rabbi Meir is saying something that's totally counterintuitive. By saying that the one who gets first rights to collect from this shor is Yehuda, meaning the last one, Achron Achron Niskar, he's going against everything we know about Bali Chovos. Because when you have many different Bali Chovos, the first one is the one who can claim his chov. But the plot grows thicker. Why? Because E Kirabi Akiva, if on the other hand we identify Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Akiva, Diomar Torah Dishutfihu, which means that the shor now belongs to shutfim, to partners, and the nizak now owns part of the shor. he owns whatever is coming to him in terms of money as payment for the for compensation for the loss, whatever that number is, that's what he owns in the shahr, and he is a shutuf in the shahr of mazik. And that means that the first nizak, which is Shimon, he should be paying now for the nizakim of Levi and Yehuda. Why? Because as soon as the hezek took place, that means Reuven Shar was mazik Shimon, Shimon now becomes a partner in Reuven Shar. And as a result of his partnership, he now comes under the Chiyuve Mazik no less than anyone else, no less than Reuven. So when you ask the question, who should be paying compensation, who should be paying Nizikin, the answer is not just Reuven for owning the Shar, but Shimon as well, because Shimon now became a shutaf, he became a partner in the Shar.
And when each person got damaged, did they then take half of that, which meant that each one had 50%?
Something like that, yeah, we're going to have to divide it up, lefi chelkom. Mm. And therefore the Gemara says, then we don't understand the Mishnah of Rabbi Meir, why? Hi, what does Rabbi Meir say? Yeshbo mosar, if there's anything left, is yachzir l'shelefanov, which means that if there's anything left after Yehuda collects his 100 zuz from this shahr, then it goes to the one before him, which is in this case Levi. That's not correct at all. Why? Because l'kulam mibayle, the truth is that there's no reason why anyone, let's say we have we'll call it Nizak Rishon and Nizak Sheni. So let's say Shimon is the Nizak Rishon, we'll call him, and Levi is the Nizak Sheni. So what are we saying? That Levi should get special rights to collect from the Mosar if there's anything left after Yehuda, if the Yehuda cleans out his half. Well, that's not really true, because Levi is now Chayv in Ezekiel. He is a Mazik. Why? Because he owns the Shar no less than Reuven did. And basically, what we should do now with the Mosar, what's ever left after, Yehuda is not Chayv to anyone, because he, you know, he was the last guy to get damaged. And he has a right to collect whatever he has a right to collect. But in terms of how we divvy up the rest, basically Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are all more or less in the same boat, because they all own shutfus in the Shara Mazik, and they all should have equal rights and obligations. Therefore, the principle of Rav Meir in our Mishnah, that Achron Achron Niskar, which means that the last one collects, that's fine. But then Mosar, if there's Mosar, is Yachzer Shelefanov, as if to say that Yehuda has a special right here to collect from this shahr, that's antithetical to Rabbi Akiva's principle, which establishes that the Nizak now becomes a Mazik. What do I mean the Nizak becomes a Mazik? Once the Hezek takes place, the Nizak becomes an owner, a partner in the Shahr of Mazik. And now anytime this Shahr goes out and damages, the former Nizak becomes a Mazik, meaning he now becomes an address for liability,
right,
to pay for the Nizikin. Mm-hmm. And if that case, basically what you have is, you have various shutfim in this shahr. Reuven is a shutfim because he owned the shahr from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Shimon is a shutfim because he's the Nizak Rishon. Levi is a shutfim. He's a partner because he's the Nizak Sheni. Now what you should do is calculate what each one should pay, but there's no reason why Levi, as the Nizak Sheni, should have any special status over here. Why does it say that Yachzir L'Shelefanov L'Kula Miboyle? The din should have been that with this Moser Damim, we should divide it up amongst Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, each one according to his chelek, whatever he should be getting. Amar Rava, Rava says, Li Olam ki Rabbi Yishmael. We're going to accept the view of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yishmael.
What was Rabbi Yishmael's opinion?
The Amar who said, Bali Chovos Ninhu, that each one of these Nizakim are Bali Chovos. It means they are creditors that deserve to be paid off, because they have a claim of compensation for the liability of the owner of the shor. Ude kashalach. Now you ask me a question. How could we square off Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yishmael? Achron niskar. Right? Why does Rabbi Meir say that the last one on the list is the one who gets first rights to collect? Adarabba, rishon niskar mi boyli, the first one to get damaged. He's the first creditor. You know, the first balchov. He's the one who should have first rights to collect. Is Hacha b'mayaskinon? What's the case? Shetfaso nizak ligvos heimena, which means that the nizak, which is, let's say, Shimon is the first nizak, he grabbed onto the shor mazik. Why did he seize the shor mazik? Because he wants to guarantee that he'll be able to collect from this shor. He doesn't want any. He just wants this shor getting lost. And he certainly doesn't want the mazik to sell the shor or slaughter the shor or whatever it is. All his funds now to collect compensation are all inherent in this shor. So he's going to be very protective over the shor. And that's called tfisa. Oh. Now, it's very interesting. The very moment that Shimon, the first nizak, grabs onto the shor, he now, paradoxically, becomes responsible to watch the shor and liable to pay any damages if that shor damages someone else. So by grabbing the shor, the nizak works on his own behalf in a positive way, and he gets benefits, but at the same time, he's got to pay the price. He gets a negative. There's a plus and a minus. The plus is that he now has control over the shor, and therefore he guarantees himself collection from the shor for this damage. But on the other hand, the downside is, the negative side is, that now he becomes responsible for the shor. He's got to guard the shor and protect it and make sure it doesn't go out and damage. And the Gemara establishes that Nasa Olav Kishomer Sachar Linizakim. Since the shor is in his control, it's in his domain, he therefore, like the case of a Shomer Sachar, has to guard the shor and make sure that it doesn't go out and damage. For example, if you give me something to watch, I have to guard that and protect it. But not only do I have to guard it and protect it, I have to also supervise it to make sure that it doesn't go out and damage. So a Shomer has a twofold responsibility. He has, number one, a responsibility vis-a-vis the mafkid who gave him that object and said, please guard it for me, you know, lock it up on the lock and key. But at the same time, he has a responsibility vis-a-vis the whole world to make sure that this, in the case of a mazik, will not go out and damage. Here also, once the nizak, that's, we'll call him Shimon, grabs onto the shor, now the shor is in his, under his supervision. It's in his rishus. And therefore, when this shor goes out and damages Levi on the second round, Shimon himself, the first nizak, becomes responsible to pay damages to Levi. But here it's different. It's not like we discussed earlier in Rabbi Akiva where there are two people who share the damages. Here there's only one person who's exclusively responsible and liable to pay damages, and that's the Nizak Rishon who grabbed on to the shor. Reuven, the original owner of the shor, is now completely exonerated. He's completely free of any sort of level of responsibility and liability because the shor is out of his hands. Because now the Nizak, we'll call him Shimon, has complete control over the shor. Now, I'm not sure why the Gemara has to call him a Shomer Sachar. I mean, I could understand logically that maybe he is a Shomer Sachar because, again, he's holding on to the shor for his benefit. And any time you get benefit from holding on to something, it's as if you were paid to watch it, and you have a din of a Shomer Sachar. I'm not sure the din would have been otherwise, even if he would have been a Shomer Chinam, because even a Shomer Chinam has to guard the object, the animal, and make sure it doesn't go out and damages. But maybe the Gemara is just telling us the emes. The truth is that the status of the Tofes, meaning the Nizak Rishon Shimon, is equivalent to that of a Shomer Sachar insofar as he benefits from holding on to the Shor. So the Gemara says, Rava, that's very nice. But Ihachi, if you are correct, and we accept your Ukimta, that the Mishnah is talking, Rabbi Meir is talking in our Mishnah about a case where the Nizak grabbed onto the Shor, then let's read the Mishnah of Rabbi Meir. Yeshbo Mosar Yachzir L'Shelefonav. Now, how do we understand this? If, let's say, the last Nizak, we'll call him Yehuda, if he collects his damages and there's still something left in the Shor, then Yachzir Shelefonav, which means that now Levi is going to collect from the Shor, from the Mosar of the Shor, and he should be losing a Hefsed because he is responsible and liable to pay Yehuda, the last Nizak, because after all, if the Nizak grabs onto the Shor, he becomes exclusively responsible for Nizikin. Why are we granting Levi in Rabbi Meir and our Mishnah rights to collect from the Mosar? Levi is now the Mazik because he's the one who let the Shor out of his sight, and the Shor went ahead and damaged Yehuda. So the Gemara says, I have a better way if the Mishnah should have been written. Yachzir Liba'olim Miboile. It should have said Yachzir Liba'olim, meaning of all these people, from Reuven down to Shimon, down to Levi, the only one who's completely guiltless is Reuven. Because after all, Reuven owes damages to Shimon, but that's about it. After that, whatever the history, the future history of the record of the Shor is, Reuven is no longer liable. Because Shimon grabbed onto the Shor, and after the Shor went out and damaged Levi, Levi grabbed onto the Shor. It's Shimon and Levi who should be responsible. And therefore, Yachzir Leba'alim, any leftover funds in the value of this Shor, should accrue to Reuven, the original Bailim. In other words, Reuven owes 100. Fine. But he has rights to 100, assuming that the Shor HaMazik is worth 200. Why should we be mafki at any point, Reuven, from that $100 worth of funds in the Shor? Reuven already, he already paid his punishment. He already gave up half of the Shor, half of the value of the Shor, and that's it. So let's say, for example, if Yehuda was damaged 200. Because he lost his Shor that was valued at 200. Therefore, Yehuda now has rights to collect 100. And what's left in the Shor? 100. That 100 should accrue to Reuven. And Shimon and Levi should have no rights to collect from that 100. Because, Adarabba, they were responsible once they did the Tfisa as Mazikim. They should be paying rather than collecting. The only one who should be collecting, or at least retaining that which is rightfully his, is Reuven, the owner of the Shor.
But still, they were only entitled to 50%.
Well, let's start with Yehuda. Yehuda's entitled to 50% of the Shor.
Yes.
Reuven, the owner of the Shor, is entitled to the other 50%.
Yes.
If Yehuda now collects his 50% that's coming to him, as Rav Meir says in the Mishnah,
yes.
Let's say out of a hezek of 200, he collects 100.
Yeah.
The Shor Mazik was worth 200, which means that now Yehuda's been awarded 100 of that 200.
Yeah.
What's left in the pot? What's left in the Shor?
100.
why shouldn't Reuven collect that 100? Why does the Mishnah establish that Yachsel Ulfanav, that now Levi has rights to collect a certain percentage, Shimon has a right to collect a certain percentage? That's not true. Because if Shimon and Levi are collecting that which is left, they're grabbing it away from Reuven, and it's Reuven who has rights to one mana. In other words, true, Reuven was a poshea. He was negligent. But that negligence is only going to cost him 100 zuz. There's no reason to penalize Reuven more than 100 zuz.
So when so Levi gets 50 and...
According to Gemara's Kasha, I think, Levi shouldn't get anything. Because basically what should happen here is that Yehuda should be collecting his 100 zuz. Right? He's totally guiltless. And he gets Chatzi Nezek.
Right.
What's left in the shor is 100 zuz. Reuven should be getting that 100 zuz. And then there's nothing left to give out.
Okay.
Why should Reuven be getting the 100 zuz? Because Reuven's already, you know, paid his due. You know, he's already been punished, so to speak, because he compensated the Nizak by 100. So his 100 is like floating through the air.
But if they were shutafim normally, they had both bought a cow.
Right.
And that, you know, that it was a shor, it got another thing, and Levi's shor. So then it would be 50-50.
Absolutely.
And then it would be 50 of theirs.
Like, right. 50, so that's why the Gemara says that if we would go with Rabbi Akiva, who says that they become shutfim, then we could begin to see why Levi gets a little part of this, if there's money left, why Shiva gets a part of this. Because they're only shutfim. They're not exclusive liability. There's no exclusive liability.
Right.
But if we're going with Rabbi Yishmael, the way Rav interprets that Mishnah, that Tufso Nizak, the Tufso Nizak makes the Nizak an exclusive Mazik, meaning he and only he is responsible for the Nezik that occurs.
Okay.
Because his Tfisa makes him responsible.
Right.
And therefore it's very odd that in our Mishnah we're giving out rights, collection rights, to both Levi, the second Nizak, and Shimon, the first Nizak. Why should we be so magnanimous giving them rights to collect from the Shor? Our first concern should be the last Nizak, we'll call him Yehuda, the Nizak Shlishi, and our second concern should be Reuven, who has no reason, there's no rhyme or reason why he should lose more than his 100. He's already forked over 100. He's given that up. He shouldn't be penalized anything beyond that 100. And that's what I think the Mishnah said. The Gemara asks here, Yachzir liba'olim miboyle. That's what the Mishnah should have ruled. Amar Avina hachiktani. This is the way, according to Rav, we have to interpret that Mishnah. Im yeshbo mosar binizakov is Yachzir l'shelefanov. What does that mean? Im yeshbo mosar binizakov. Let's say that the nezek to Yehuda, that's the third nizak, was minimal, meaning that Yehuda has rights to collect a certain, let's say, limited percentage of this shor. Correct? That's called Yeshbo Mosar bin Izakov. So now, let's go back for a moment to the previous Nizak. Let's set up the following scenario. Imagine you have Reuven owning a shor of 200 zuz, Shimon owns a shor of 200 zuz, and Levi owns a shor of 100 zuz. So we have now, I've just sort of simplified it, instead of a Nizak Shlishi and introducing Yehuda, we have only a Nizak Rishon and Sheni. Okay, there are only three members of the triangle here.
Okay,
so now, Reuven's Shor was Mazik Shimon, and Reuven therefore owes Shimon 100 mana, 100 zuz of his Shor. So Reuven now has ownership rights of 100, and now he owes Shimon 100. Shimon now grabs on to this shar hamazik. That's called tfisa. And the shar now is mazik Levi. Levi's shar, which was damaged, was only worth 100. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Levi's rights to collect is limited to 50. So now what we want to determine is the domain nizko, in other words, the nizak rishon, which is Shimon, what rights to collection does he have from the mazik? Correct? Now, if you calculate the following, the nizak rishon originally had rights to collect 100, but now that he did his tfisa, he's got to pay the nizak sheni 50. Because again, the shar of the nizak sheni was worth 100, so chatzi nezek is 50. And basically, what we're left with is, for Shimon, the nizak rishon, is 50. Did you catch that? Because again, initially before the second hezek, Shimon had rights to 100. Mm-hmm. That was his chatzi nezek. But now that he grabs on to the shar of mazik, he now has to pay damages to Levi. If Levi only has rights to collect 50, then Shimon could collect 50 out of his 100, and still at the same time guaranteeing Reuven 100 for himself. I mean, what was the Gemara's kash of Yachzil Abalim Miboyle? The Gemara held that we have to guarantee the Bailim, that's Reuven, that he gets his 100, because there's no reason, as we said before, to penalize him to forfeit more than 100. Mm-hmm. So, now we're going to guarantee him 100. So why does Rabbi Meir say that the middle guy here, we'll call him Shimon, why does he have rights to collect here? The answer is because we're talking about a case where Levi only had a minimum amount of hezek, you know, this was a smaller amount. By reducing it from 100 to 50, you leave 50 for Shimon to collect, because Shimon has already fulfilled his obligation by paying Levi. After Shimon's tfisa, he now becomes liable to pay Levi. He covered Levi's claim. Levi's claim was only for 50. So he paid Levi 50. Once he pays Levi 50, now what's left in the shar? There's 150 left in the shar. Well, Shimon says, I have rights to 50 of that 150. Why? Because I've already paid up Levi for my responsibility. Reuven has been paid up because he's collecting, he's maintaining his ownership on 100, and therefore Shimon, the middle guy, will collect 50. That's exactly, says Ravina, what the Mishnah, what Rav Meir was saying. V'chein, and so too, ki osa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar Mishum, Rav Yochanan, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, right, Rav Yochanan was the great Amora of Eretz Yisrael, Mishum Shias Shomrim Naguba, that the reason why the Achron here is the one who's Niskar, why does he get first rights, is because all the others were Poshim. They were all guilty of negligence. Why? Because they were obligated in Shmirah, and they didn't fulfill their, live up to their obligation of Shmirah. Now, why are all these middle Nizakim, those who were damaged, why are they Poshim? Why are they obligated in Shmirah? The answer is, it must be because there was Tfisa, like we saw before in Rava. And Rav Meir holds like Rav Yishmael, the Nizak has to pay damages, and he becomes a Mazik, not because of his Shutfas, not because he owns partnership in the Shar, like Rav Akiva, but because he was Tofes the Shar. And if he was Tofes the Shar, he's a Poshea, so that's why the Achron is Niskar. He's the greatest guy. He's like the hero. Why is he the hero? Because he was not a Poshea. All the other Nizokim were Poshea, because after the Tfisa, why didn't they prevent the Shar from going out and damage? So that's all fine and dandy. And it turns out that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara is bothered by this. Why? B'mayu kimta. You establish now the Mishnah of Rabbi Meir ki Rabbi Yishmael. Ihachi, if that be the case, ema seifa. Let's read the last part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shor shove masayim, shenogach shor shove masayim, v'eina nevel yofeklum, ze notel mona, v'ze notel mona. Chazar v'nogach shor acher shove masayim ha'achron notel mana v'shelefonav ze notel chamishim zuz v'ze notel chamishim zuz. In other words, once we pay off the last nizak, then the mazik and the nizak will divvy up what's left in the shor. And the reason for that is because the first nizak becomes a shutaf. This all reflects the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Chazav v'nogach shor shove masayim is ha'achron notel mona shalfonim notel chamishim zuz ushnayim arishonim dinar zav. What we do is, in the case where there's a further nizak, we'll call him the third nizak, he collects mea. The one before him, which we'll call, let's say, Levi, the second nizak, he collects 50. So we've already now divvied up 150 out of the 200 that the shor is worth. We're left with 50. And that 50 is going to be split between the shutvim, namely Reuven and Shimon, each one collecting 25. Is Asan, L'Rabbi Akiva, the Omer Torah, the Shutvehu. This all fits in very beautifully, reflecting the Shita Rabbi Akiva of Yuchal Ashar, which means that with the Hezek, the Nizak becomes a Shutaf in the Shar. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel clearly reflects the Shita Rabbi Akiva. Is Reisha Rabbi Shmuel the Sefer Rabbi Akiva? Could it be that the Reisha reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer, the Shita of Rabbi Akiva? And the Gemara says here, we now will finish up, hopefully, the bulk of Lamed Vav, Lamed Beis. The Gemara says, Amri in, that's exactly what we should be saying. We should be saying that the Reisha reflects Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer Rabbi Akiva. Why? Da Amar Le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Shinina. Again, there was a different kash in a different context, but the response of Shmuel was to that contradiction, Shvok mas nisim v'sa basroi. Leave the Mishnah, don't try to work overtime and sweat it out to reconcile the two parts of the Mishnah, but rather the two parts of the Mishnah reflect two different shitos in the Tanoim. And therefore, if we apply that principle of Shmuel here, is Reisha k'Rabbi Yishmael, v'seifa k'Rabbi Akiva. Itmar Nami, Omer Rav Yochanan, Hikdisho, Nizak, Ika Beinayu. The Nafkamina Ladina between Rabbi Meir and the Reisha and Rabbi Shimon and the Seifa is if after the Negicha, the Nizak was Magdish the Shar. According to Rabbi Meir, such a Hegdesh is not valid because the owner of the Shar is the Mazik, the original owner of the Shar. But according to Rabbi Shimon, since he holds like Rabbi Akiva that the Nizak owns partnership in the Shar, the Nizak can therefore go ahead based on his partnership and his ownership and be Magdish the Shar. Now, before we go on, what I'd like to do, and I sort of made a little chart for myself, is to chart out the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, which is based on Rabbi Akiva. And here's what I have. Roman numeral number one. Reuven's Shar was Mazik Shimon. Okay, so Shimon is the Nizak Rishon. The Shar of Reuven, the Shar of Mazik is worth 200. Reuven takes 100. Shimon takes 100. And they're basically equal partners in the Shar. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we get to Roman numeral number two, where Levi steps into the picture. He's the Nizak Sheni. Now, if Levi's Shar is worth 200, Levi deserves to be paid 100. And what we're going to say now is that Reuven pays 50 and Shimon pays 50. Why do they each pay 50 to Levi? The reason for that is both Reuven and Shimon are shutvim in the Shar. Now let's introduce Roman numeral number 3, a Nizak Shlishi, which is Yehuda. If Yehuda's Shar is worth 200, he deserves to be paid 100. And now Levi has to pay 50. Why? Because Levi is a shutaf in this shor, and he has to pay his share of the nezek, and then Reuven and Shimon are left with 50 left in the shor, and they will divide that up equally, such that Reuven collects $25 from the shor, 25 zuzim, and Shimon collects 25 zuzim. The only question that I have here is, why does Levi pay 50 if Yehuda deserves 100? Why does Levi have in this shor a 50% responsibility or shutfis as a half owner of the shor? In other words, lechora, okay, Levi also could collect from the shor, but why does that undermine the shutfis of Reuven v'Shimon? Why do they get pushed off, so to speak, in terms of having to pay Yehuda? So I'm not 100% sure what the answer to that question is. I suspect that the answer to that question, again, if you go with Rabbi Yishmael and Rava, that Levi was toe-faced the shor, that's something different, but then he should be paying the full 100. That's not what we're saying. Obviously, we're going through Rabbi Akiva now in Rabbi Shimon, and Levi is nothing more than a shutaf. But why do we see Levi as the, you know, as the primary shutaf, where we see Reuven and Shimon as shutfim of shutfim? Meaning, in the 100 that's going to be left in the shor, we take 50 and we divide up into equal shutfis of Reuven and Shimon. They gather together, so band together as one unit. And the other 50 belongs to Levi. And if Levi has a share of 50, right, then Lechora, he has paid up Yehuda. Again, Yehuda deserves to be paid 100. And what should we say? Should we say that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are equal, you know, three equal shutfim, and therefore each one should be paying a third of the 100, 33.3? No. What we're saying is that Levi has a more fundamental shutfis here. Now I have it. Reuven and Shimon, after the first hezek, become shutfim according to Rabbi Kiva in this shor, which means Reuven owns 100 of the shor and Shimon owns 100 of the shor. Now when the shor is mazik Levi, each one, Reuven and Shimon, each one of the equal partners in the shor has to pay Levi chatzi nezek. Now the chatzi nezek of Levi, assuming his shor was worth 200, is 100. So Levi collects 100 from each of Reuven and Shimon, v'ich shutav, which means that Reuven and Shimon had 100, but now they each have to fork over 50 to satisfy Levi, in so far as Levi deserves 100. So now at the end of the day, it turns out that Reuven owns 50 in the shor, Shimon owns 50 in the shor, and Levi owns 100 in the shor. So Levi owns half the shor, whereas Reuven and Shimon each own a quarter of the shor. So now when this shor is mazik Yehuda, then Levi, as a 50% partner in the shor, will have to pay 50% of whatever damages Yehuda has rights to collect. Now Yehuda lost the shor of 200. He has rights to collect 100. Since Yehuda is a half owner of the shor, he has to pay half of that 100, which means he has to pay 50, right? And that means that he's left with 50. Mm-hmm. Reuven and Shimon are both quarter owners of the shor, and therefore they have to pay a quarter of 100, which is coming to Yehuda, which means they have to pay 25 each, which means that at the end of the day, Yehuda is left with 50. Yehuda is left with 100. Levi is left with 50. Reuven and Shimon are each left with 25. Okay. That's Reb Shimon and Amish. And it works out beautifully because, again, I'm very excited about this, because Reuven and Shimon originally became equal partners in the shor, valued, each partnership is therefore valued at 100, but when that shor is mazik Levi, and Reuven and Shimon are now equal partners, they each have to chip in for Levi. Levi has a right to collect 100, so he's going to be given 100, and Reuven is going to have to pay 50 of that 100, insofar as he's an equal shutuf. Shimon will likewise pay 50 to Yehuda, insofar as Shimon is an equal partner. Now we have a situation in which Yehuda owns half the shar, 100 mano worth, 100 zuz worth of the shar. Reuven owns 50 in the shar, and Shimon owns 50 in the shar. Now, when the shar damages Yehuda, and Yehuda has rights to collect 100, so each one pays l'fi chelko. Yehuda owns half the shar, he's going to pay half that damage, right? The collectible damage is 100. So Yehuda's going to collect 50 from Levi, right? And he's going to collect 25 from each of Reuven and Shimon, being so far as they own, what they owned in the shar was half of half, which means a quarter. So that's very good. Now the Gemara says the following. Tanu Tanan Hasan, we have a Mishnah later on. Hatokea l'chavera, a person blows into someone's ear. And in such a case, there's going to be a payment of what's called boshes, right? Because that's something humiliating. Is how much do you pay for boshes? So we have here a machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Tanakama says, no sein lo sela, that the Dmei Boshes is a sela. So we have to figure out exactly how much a sela is, and there are two categories of a sela, and they have radically different values. One is called sela tsuri, and the other called a sela medina. Sela medina is actually a very small amount. It is a chatzi zuz. And Rav Yehuda Omer Mishum Rav Yosef Glili Mana. Mana is 100 zuz. So the discrepancy here between, or the ratio between what the Tanakhama wants you to pay for Boshes and what Rav Yosef Glili wants you to pay might be a ratio of 1 to 200. Right? Because 100 to a half is like 1 to 200. If a sela is a half a zuz. And if you hold that a sela is a sela medina, then a sela medina is worth half a zuz. So shalche Rav Tuvia bar Masna lekami de Rav Yosef. Rav Tuvia sent a question to Rav Yosef: sela tsori tnan, o sela medina tnan. What did the Tanakhama have in mind when he said that the tokeh has to pay a sela? Did he have in mind a sela tsuri? A sela tsuri is worth 4 zuzim. Or a sela medina, which is only worth a half a zuz. Amar lei, Rav Yosef responded, tenisuha. Perhaps we could derive this from our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, ha'achron notel mana, v'shalafanav chamishim zuz, which means that Yehuda, the third Nizak, collects 100, and Levi, the second Nizak, collects 50 zuz. Ushnayim arishonim, and Reuven and Shimon, dinar zav, they each collect 25 zuz. So the Gemara says, if this be the case, let's say, for example, you assume that e salkadaita tani tana sela medina, that the sela that we're dealing with is a sela medina, which is worth, as we said, a chatzi zuz, then it's difficult. Niflog v'nisni ad tresar v'sela. Rav Shimon should have gone a step further with another division here in the Dmei Ashar, that if the Shar would damage a fifth time, right, then you would, and you would again add a chiyuv of 200 zuz,
right?
The last one, now we're up to Yisachar, I guess, he would collect 100 zuz. And then the one before him would collect 50 zuz. The one before him would get 25 zuz. And the Nizak Rishon would then get 12 and a half zuz, meaning...
Will there be two people?
If you get 12 zuz plus a sell of Medina, which is a chatzi zuz. And if Rav Shimon didn't bother going that step further, then obviously the Mishnah is not talking about a sell of Medina, but rather it was talking about a sell of Tzuri. So let me just read this to you. Hayar Rav Shimon Kosev Chaluka Zu. If Rav Shimon was talking about a Sela Medina, then he would have written the extra Chaluka here. Like Tzarech Lomar, Sheshnayim Rishonim Yekablu, Shneimasar Zuzim V'chetzi. Now we have a rule that Ein Derech HaMishnah L'Shanos Chatzoi Zuzim, V'yaf Mashenemar B'tokel L'chaveru Sela Kavona L'Sela Tzuri, V'yishalim Arba Zuzim. So the Mishnah would generally speak about a full zuz and not a half a zuz. And therefore, if we assume that a sela here in our context is a sela tsuri, then we're dealing with four zuzim. So let's just again go back over here for a split second. And what do we have here? We have a suffix. Whether we're talking about a Sela Tzuri or Sela Medina. And if we're talking about Sela Medina, then the Tana should have felt free to, and when you say Tana, we mean Rav Shimon, should have felt free to divide up one further division, and it would come out to 12 Zuz plus a Sela Medina. Mm-hmm. By divvying up the 25 zuz into two halves.
Right.
Amalei, so the person who heard this raya from Rav Yosef, he says, Tana ki ruchla lisnei velezil. Does the Tana have to be like a rochel? You know, the rochel is the person who sells cosmetics, you know, goes through the cities and he screams out in the streets, you know, I'm selling this, I'm selling that. He tells you the whole list that goes on and on, tell you what he's selling, what his wares are, so that people come and buy from him. Does the Tana therefore have to give an extra chalukah? That's not, you know, the reason why the Tana didn't give an extra chalukah here with a fifth party is because it has nothing to do with Sela Medina, but simply because the Tana doesn't have to give us all the different cases. My Havi Allah, what's the final conclusion? As the Gemara says, Pashtua Mihod Yom Rab Yehuda Marav, Kol Kesef Omer B'Torah, Kesef Tzuri. Whenever the Torah uses the word Kesef, it's a reference to Kesef Tzuri, Vishal Devrei, and whenever the Chachamim are talking about a Chiv that you have to pay, they are referring to Kesef Medina. So again, getting back to the case of Tokel L'Chavero, the Chachomim were evaluating how much of a Nezek, in terms of Boshes, the Nizak has a right to collect from the Mazik, and they said, the Tanakhama says, Sela, he pays him a Sela, it was referring to a Sela Medina, which is a Chatzi Zuz, because that's Midivrayim, that's already a Rabbinic Chiyuv, a Rabbinic Shiur. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Amalei Hahu Gavra, a person blew into his friend's ear, and then he said to Rav Yosef, Hoil Upalga Dezuzehu, the Nizak said that if all I could collect is half of a zuz, is lo be'ina, I don't want to collect such a small amount. It's like below my dignity to collect prutot, you know, for a tremendous boshes that I suffered here. But rather, nasve laniyim, take this money, that the mazik has, the tokei has to pay me, and do me a favor and divvy it up amongst the poor people. Hadar amale. Afterwards, he changed his mind. Nasve nile. I could use the money. I don't want to give it to tztaka. Ezel v'avri be nafshoi. I'll go and I'll have a, you know, a little bit of a vacation. I will literally avri be nafshoi. I will improve the health of my soul. Amar le Rav Yosef. Too late, buddy. You cannot rescind your promise, your pledge to tztaka. Kfar zachu bei aniyim. The aniyim have already made a kinyan, that's called maimed shloshtan, over the money that you promised them, the chatzizuz. The afal gav delek aniyim hach, even though there are no aniyim here to make a kinyan, or to do a maimed shloshtan, is anan. I am the gabai tztaka, says Rav Yosef. I'm the yad aniyim anan. I remain the hand or the agent, the representative of the aniyim. Yom Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yisomim, and now on Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph, we'll try to get to the Mishnah. Yisomim, Einam Tzrichim Prozbo. Usually, if you have a debt that you want to collect, you write a Prozbo on it to avoid the Shemitah process of Shemitas Ksofim. But in the case of Yisomim, there's no need for them to write a prosbul, these young children, because we will do it, we as Beis Din, as their representatives, do it on their behalf. V'chein tani, Rami Bar Chama, so too we learn from Rami Bar Chama, Yisomim Einam Tzrichim prosbul. And why is that? Rami Gamliel Beis Din Avim Shel Yisomim Hayu, because this is the responsibility of Beis Din, to represent the Ketanim, and it's as if they the Ketanim have already deposited shtaros in the hands of the Beis Din. In any event, what it means is that the Gabai Tztaka, getting back to our case, is the Yad Aniyim, and he is Zoche on behalf of the Aniyim. And this sugya has tremendous halachic repercussions and implications. I don't know if we'll have time tonight. It's getting a little bit late. But one last story. Chanan Bisha. There was a fellow by the name of Chanan, and he had a very bad reputation. He was called Chanan Bisha, Chanan the Evil One. That was his kinui. That was what they called him. Taka Leilahu Gavra. In one case, in one episode, he blew into the ear of so and so. Also, Lakami de Rav Huna. And the judgment came in front of Rav Huna, Amar Le. Rav Huna turns to this Chanan, and he says to him, Zil Havle Palga de Zuza. Go ahead and pay up a half a Zuz. Like the Tanakhama of our Brisa, who says that you pay a Selah, and the Gemara already determined and established that a Selah is a Selah Medina, which is a half a Zuz. Havile Zuza Mocha. Chanan had in his possession a bad Zuz. A bad Zuz means in those days that, you know, when they minted coins, there was the face of the king on the coin. And if that face got erased, nobody wanted to deal with such a coin. It was taken out of circulation. But he had that Zuz. Boi lemeisva le mine palga de Zuza. And Chanan wanted to pay his half a Zuz that he had to pay from this Zuz. But lo havi mishtakile. But nobody was willing to buy this, you know, this Zuz from him. No one was, you know, he wanted to swap it in the exchange place, right? And nobody wanted to take it from him. So what did he do? Tukale achrina. So he blew a second time into the ear of that person that he had blown the first time. Now he's chayv to pay another half of Zuz, all told Zuz, the Yoiv Niele. And he gave him this Zuz that was Eino Yotze, that he couldn't even sell. In other words, he wanted to sell the Zuz on the market. He couldn't do so. But nevertheless, it still has the official, you know, value of a zuz, and as far as paying the zikin, in this case boshes, he can point it off on the nizak, and the nizak has the headache now of doing what he will with it. So that's how Hanan Bisha got away with blowing a second time into the ear of his victim. Okay, and then we'll stop here.